It's time for Declare Your Independence with Ernest Hancock.
Believe me when I say we have a difficult time ahead of us. But if we are to be prepared for it, we must first shed our fear of it. I stand here without fear because I remember. I remember that I am here not because of the path that lies before me, but because of the path that lies behind me. I remember that for 100 years we have fought these machines. And after a century of war, I remember that which matters most. We are still here! Tonight, let us make them remember. We are not afraid!
Because we're preparing. You know, during the break at the top of the hour news, you know, what do? I go online and I just said, you know what, you know, Jack and I were talking, you know, we're getting ready, what are we doing? I said, you know one thing that I need? I need to stock up on a whole bunch of antibiotics for my dog. Yeah, that's it. So I get that. And my dog gets the best stuff. It's the same stuff that I would use for myself. You know, so I'm going, and where do you go? You know, think about it. I mean, do you know where to go to get that? Legally, you know, well, one, you can go to Mexico, that's one thing, but you know, here we got let's see, I just put in feed stores, you know, here in Phoenix. I mean, there's a lot of people have horses and so on. Henderson Southwest, CNH Hay and Pet Barn, Gordon's Feed and Seed, Stockman's Feeds, Ray's Feed Store, blah 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 blah. I mean, there's like a dozens of them. And what do they have? Penicillin right here, injectable. We got 30-cent syringes, and we got the injectable 100cc 12. Not in that. Take care of it. Done. Just something you should know in case your dog gets parvo. I just, you know, I just wanted to share this with you because I love your dog. Yep, because I'm a heck of a nice guy. So you just do a Google search on, you know, animal feed supply, hay, horse supplies, whatever, in your area. I bet you there's not hardly anywhere in the country that you can't get access to this kind of stuff. But they don't want you to know. And I'll guarantee it'll soon be illegal. I was just talking to one during the break, and there was, it was a broad banned antibiotic that was, I can't remember what it was, this tetra, I don't know, if it wasn't tetracycline, but it was tetra something, you know, and you look it up on, you know, Wiki, you go on the internet, you ask your pharmacy friends, kind of, and you put all this as a kind of a broad band, and it was for swine and poultry. I think you just used an antibiotic. And you find out that it was generally used on humans, you know, a decade or two ago until they'd gone to something else that was, I don't know, whatever, you know, the new stuff, you know. And so you look at all these and you get it, and it was dry powder that you just put in liquid. And it's kind of, you know, so my dog tells me it's a bitter taste kind of to it, you know, but I'm going, okay, so yeah, you don't want to be. Now, I'm not, you know, hey, let's all take antibiotics daily. But, you know, the thing is how much value does that have in the apocalyptic future of the Mel Gibson movie of Road Warrior? I mean, I have tetracycline and a bottle of penicillin here. Bottle of penicillin going for a gold bar. You know, your gold bar ain't worth nothing if you're dead. So how much value does things like that have? You always joke that... Oh, this reminds me. I got to tell you this story, Jack. This is good. All right, I got to preface this story. This is it all gets up to my wife. Well, one thing, I don't forget, what made me think of this was that one of the things that is a value, you know? I mean, you would have toilet paper. You know, our attic's full of toilet paper. You know, Sam's Club's got a sale on toilet paper. Guess what? Homie ain't running out of toilet paper, okay? So then you have, because there's a lot of things like that they had shortage, like diapers. You know, diapers. I got a granddaughter. You know, I got another grandson coming. I'm thinking, you know, how many diapers can I get? You know, baby powder, you know, handy, you know, wipes, you know, Purell. We got enough hand sanitizer to last us a while. They had that on sale one time. I got like, man, I'm good. You know, my whole family's good for a decade. I got enough of that. Because remember that, you know, the flu thing was going on and everything? Oh, well, yeah. Right when that, all that stuff was available, I bought a bunch. I go, okay, I'm good. That's one less thing I got to worry about. Well, you know, the other things is, what if you're just, you know, you're all thinking about the one thing that you might want to have is tampons. Because what happens? How much is a menstruating woman willing to pay for a tampon?
A lot.
You know, I mean, that is all menstruated women must come to me, you know. So that is, it's currency. And I asked my wife, I go, how much? She's going, oh, that's just, I go, really? How much would you pay for it? Yeah, good point. You know, so I go, well, go out and buy a bunch. So she bought 2 years worth of tampons. You know, and I'm, you know, and she's, you know, in her late 40s, she might not need them one of these days. You know, but still, would I have them anyway? Heck yeah. It's currency, and they're small, and they're divisible. You know, you can break them up in the small, and they're prepackaged, and you got, you know, that's like money. You know, one thing, you think that's on their priority list to get, heck, they'll use that as a control mechanism, ration them out for, yeah, you got to do so much ditch digging to get your tampons. I mean, you know, this is, it freed up women. I mean, that made a big difference. I remember when I was a kid, you know, this feminine napkin thing. You know, I remember they used to do television commercials. I'm like 8 years old or something. Feminine napkins. I mean, feminine napkin. What do they get special napkins for? What is it, Mom? What the heck are they talking about? You know, so I got a lesson. Anyway, I probably shouldn't ask. So I'm going, these are the kind of things that you're looking to accumulate. You know, think of some other stuff of value. I mean, other than like dry goods, like, you know, beans and rice and stuff. But what are some of the other daily things, you know, that you think that people should stock up on, Jack?
Well, protein, things like tuna, chicken, if you like Spam. I mean, you look at these things and they'll last till like 2014. I mean, they're going to be good for a while.
You know, on the Spam thing, we had a friend of mine that is a very wealthy guy, and we were just making jokes about it. I said, you know what? Let's cook up some Spam.
It's good.
So we went and got some Spam. You put it in the fry, and you get it the right, you know, thickness, and you just fry the living snot out of it and get it kind of caramelized on the outside and everything. I go, I remember having this when I was a kid. It's not that bad, you know. So we just need to learn Spam. All right, fine. So we started accumulating some Spam. So we got Spam, 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 wonderful Spam. So we have that. So Spam's a good one. Well, other than food, I mean, think of some other things, a little, you know, like toothpaste. You know, oh, shampoo, soap.
Yeah, those are great. You should definitely have shampoo. You should have all the medicine that you can get hold of. Things like Pepto-Bismol, anti-diarrheals. You know, those
NyQuil.
Are, NyQuil.
NyQuil.
Sudafed.
Imagine if you were king and the NyQuil existed in the realm and you had it all. Oh, man, or you didn't have any. How much would you pay to get NyQuil in medieval times when you got the sniffles or the flu or the bubonic plague?
Yeah.
You know, NyQuil, oh, that's a good commodity.
Toothpaste.
You know, one of the other things is a good friend of ours, Eric, he goes like this. He has a storage area because it's just him and his wife, and they have like a four-bedroom home, modest home and everything. And he has a supply. One of the bedrooms, he just put a bunch of supplies in there. And then he has like he has some land up somewhere, and he has those sea containers, you know, one of those shipping container things, those big things. They're like 8 feet wide and high and 40 feet long or whatever up on his land up there. And he's got a bunch a Crown Royal. I mean, I go, man, did I find your favorite liquor? You know, and he goes, oh, no, man, I'm going to be a rich SOB. When it goes down, I got the Crown Royal, man. It's all good. So I'm going, okay, I can see the value in that. So a lot of our friends, I mean, they're not spending a significant amount of their wealth on this. I mean, a lot of them, you know, guns and precious metals or just stuff. But once you got everything, once you got the food thing covered, once you got enough beans last you a few years, once you got enough, you know, whatever, that you're going to not die of starvation, well, the next thing is, you got all the starving hordes that want what you got because they're dying of starvation. So then what do? You better have enough to share with the rest of the class, or you got to have something to protect yours or hide it or a place to go with it. And then if you do need to negotiate for things that you don't have, if you can't make it yourself, if you don't got the tooling, if you don't have the power, if you don't have the diesel, if you don't have the electrical generator, if you don't have, you know, whatever, I mean, you're going to have to be able to trade for the things that you need. What would you trade? What's of value other than food? You know, well, you know, maybe precious metals. But a lot of times, you know, if I got a hunk of silver and I got, you know, a 23-year-old girl coming up and, you know, I got tampons and silver, guess what she wants?
Right.
You know, so these are things that we need to start thinking about not later. And you can say all kinds of crazy stuff. Ernie's being all kinds of crazy. Yeah, until you're thinking back, you know, I got this archive show. What is it? You know, we got July of 2010. Ooh, he was a smart boy, wasn't he? You know, as we now get into the where I wish I had put this stuff aside. You know, I have friends that, you know, are far better off than me financially, but they don't have anything set aside. It's all their pensions and all their retirements in the stock market. Well, they got it in other stuff, and then they see that diminish in the last couple of years. Now it's, you know, it's worth a third what it was. I'm going, yeah, you know, who's got their stuff straight now? What did I tell you to do with that stuff? I told you to sell that and buy this stuff over here just to get hunkering down. They didn't. And now they go, well, it'll go back up. Yeah, well, it did there for a while and went back down again, didn't it? Now, I don't know. I think it's getting ready to crash. We need to get ready to keep breathing in and out.
Okay. Roads? It's the Ernest Hancock Show. Where we're going, there aren't any roads.
Jack Gregson, our economic columnist with freedomsphoenix.com. He's always, you know, every day. It's always with the negative waves, man. Negative waves. You know, I got some positive waves here. You know what you can get now? You know, if you got the money still, you got the money? Here we go. The new Porsche 918 Spyder is only $630,000.
Such a deal.
$630,000. Yeah, but it's a hybrid. It's green.
Oh, that makes a difference.
Well, you know, it's like the old Batman car. You know, turbines of speed. Want to hear that again? And what happens is, I guess it's got, it's got an engine, of course, but it has lithium-ion batteries. And it can go, I don't know, a dozen miles or something on just, you know, electric power. But what it does is, you know, it has various levels of how efficient it's going to be. But it's got that, you know, have the money go out, tailpipe, you know, we're just going performance, woohoo, 190-whatever miles an hour. And that's we're kicking in the electric motors and the gas motor. We're giving it all. And you can get this for only $630,000. Yeah, and they already got, they said when they get 10 or something people in line to buy it, they'll start production. They already got 20 people.
Yeah, I saw that.
Yeah, they're all Goldman Sachs. So here we have another guy, you know, wanting to keep us just distracted from our woes. We have a skydiver that plans a record-breaking supersonic space jump.
Yeah.
This is good. You know, it's like in the new Star Trek where they, you know, plummeted from space. They're going down, you know, to save the day on Vulcan. You know, a skydiver is making progress and plans to leap from near the edge of space in a dive that would break world records and the sound barrier. Austrian daredevil Felix Baumgartner is a step closer to attempting the feat after a series of recent high-altitude test jumps. He plans to make his ambitious jump attempt later this year, starting in the stratosphere. At 120,000 feet above the ground, Baumgartner will leap from a capsule suspended by a helium balloon near the boundary of space. Very cool. I mean, you know, it's better him than me. Oh, you know who's sponsoring it? Red Bull. Yeah, it's all about the money, man. It's all about the money. So I'm just going, okay, cool.
Yeah, it's better him than me, I'll tell you what. I mean, the first time that Chuck Yeager broke the sound barrier, they had what they call mild buffeting. And basically, everybody that tried to break it prior to, you know, Chuck Yeager, the thing fell apart. You know, they didn't know how to control the plane as they went through the speed of sound. So he might find some uncontrollable buffeting when he hits the sound barrier.
Yeah. He needs to get in it, you know, get a really good Rocketeer nose cone helmet or something.
You ever seen a motorcyclist try and hit 200 miles an hour? It doesn't take anything for them to lose control. And then they just completely wipe out. And, you know, it's basically instant death unless they get very lucky.
Yeah, I mean, you know, him first. That's my vote.
Yeah.
You know, this is, you know, okay, well, we'll read about the, you know, the blood-soaked parachute as it lands out in the desert somewhere. But we'll talk about that later. But that's all distraction from stuff, man.
Well, yeah, so, I mean, so's Mel Gibson. I mean, and every other movie star, everything that you see is a distraction. But, you know, Ernie was talking about the new Porsche, okay? I had a Porsche at one time. It was called called a 1958 Super 1600. It was a very nice car. But you know what I'm looking for now? I went out to an auction, Ernie, this last Saturday, and my wife and daughter wanted to go with me. So we all woke up at about 5:30 in the morning, and we went to this auction. I've been going to
on the weekend or during the week? Or
on the weekend. It was last Saturday. And I was surprised. They both wanted to go with me, and I've been doing this for a year just to see what's out there. Last August, I bought a car. I got it for $1,600, and I've already put 22,000 miles on it. And I wanted to see what was happening because it's a real way of seeing what's happening with the economy.
Yeah, you got people that, you know, all these little car dealerships, they nobody's buying any cars. They're
right
out there anywhere. All the Hispanics went back to Mexico. So they're not buying any of these cars, and they still got inventory coming. All of a sudden, the prices start plummeting, I'll bet.
Right, yeah. So I went out there this last Saturday morning, and they had cars and trucks that were going for half the Kelley Blue Book price. And how do I know that? Because I looked it up before I ever went to the auction. I looked it up the day before. So I knew exactly what they were going to go for, what they should go for.
And so give me an example. I mean, 2,000 and whatever for that did what, sold for how much?
Okay, I'll give you an idea. A lot of these vehicles are owned by Southwest Gas and different companies here in the Valley. And there was two that I had my eye on. Both of them were Ranger pickup trucks. That's a smaller pickup truck, but one of them was a 1994. The thing was basically brand new. It had 30,000 miles on it, 1994. It was new inside and out. And the thing is, it should have gone for about $2,700 to $3,000 in that condition because it was in excellent condition. It went for, I think it was $1,600. And there was another one that was in 1991. It had even fewer miles. It was, I think, 27,000 miles.
Well, give me an example of the newer cars, you know, SUVs, 2005 or something like that. I mean,
they have trucks like F-150s, Jimmys, 2002s, 2005s, and they're going for less than Kelley Blue Book. That, you know, with the bigger pickup trucks, yeah, they are going for more. But the thing is, their prices are going down.
Well, you know, my daughter, Sierra, she needs another vehicle. She's driving our Suburban that's kind of our, you know, escape vehicle, you know, four-wheel drive. We put it up on the land, kind of we're going to be somewhere. We got a Suburban for that.
Yeah.
And it's just an old 92, something we got for almost nothing, just kind of been fixing it up a little bit. And it's good for what we need it for.
Right.
Well, it's like a secondary car. She's driving that. You know, when she wrecked her car, totaled it, some guy pulled in front of her. You know, it wasn't her fault. But so we're like, dang, yeah, drive this while you're looking for something. Well, is this something she should do, go to this auction? Is it every Saturday?
No, it's the second Saturday of every month. So the next one will be on August 14th, and I think it's at 67th Avenue and Lower Buckeye.
Well, how is it that you qualify? You just say, but you got to pay a fee, or you go in?
You pay a $300 fee to get an auction ticket. And then once you have your auction ticket, you can actually bid on the vehicles that are there, and you have
if you don't buy anything, you get your $300 back?
Yeah. And you have the day before, you can go in and preview the vehicles. And you can preview them online for the previous month, you know, to see what they have, what they look like. Because you can look at them on the internet and you can see something the equivalent of, let's say, an 8.5 by 11 close-up photograph of it. And it gives
so where
you a
do
good
these
idea.
Come from?
They come from
trade-ins
dealers.
Trade-ins or something?
Trade-ins, you know, dealers. You know, can't get rid of the vehicles, or like I said, Southwest Gas. It's a really good way to buy a vehicle cheap. And it gives you a way of assessing what's happening with the economy. If you go often enough, it really gives you an idea what's happening.
Wow, we can tell what was happening. Hummers, they're not selling that many anymore. You know, a lot of people don't know, I mean, I guess maybe a lot of people do. There was a, you want to know why all these SUVs came out. Well, there was a government program that if it was so heavy, you know, it
right.
got over a certain amount, instead of depreciating the value of it over a period of 5 years, you could do it in 1 year.
Right.
So if you're, you know, making some money, you're an attorney or a doctor or something like that. You know, I had friends, they go out and buy a Mercedes SUV. And get the write off all of the 5 years of it. They got like half of it off of their taxes. So yep. they got half of their vehicle paid for right off the bat.
That was November of 2001. That's when they put that program into effect.
You know, and then you wonder why you got all these SUVs, because the tax credit was tailor-made for them.
Yeah.
And you go, oh, I can't believe you're buying all these SUVs. And I go, well, go yell at your congressman, because that's what they did.
Right.
You know, because Mark, I remember him buying. I go, what the heck are you getting this car for? He goes, because I got half of it paid off of my taxes. And I'm like going, all right, explain it to me. He goes, hey, man, it's all legal, man. That's what they did. That's how they do it. Because he just do it through his company. It's a company vehicle.
Right.
You know, and they just, you know, take the whole, you know, you could do it on the lease, or you do it on the purchase price, or you do it on whatever. And I'm going, this, the government's doing this on purpose? Seriously? This is how they roll? Yep, that's how they do it all the time. There's so much of this stuff. You know, I forgot more of how many ways I got screwed, you know, than probably most people even know. You know, oh, it's always freedom good. Give me bad, bad, bad.
Freedom's the answer. What's the question? You're listening to Ernest Hancock.
Let's get ready to rumble!
Well, we could vote ourselves free. You know, let's go run down and vote. You know,
give me a provisional ballot, Ernie.
You know, I've been through every time they kind of want to suck you in. You know, you get into, you think you might. Yeah, it's just all, you go down and you go through the process, and it's just always screwing with you. You know, we got Michelle Obama now. She's out the NAACP, condemning the racist elements of the Tea Party.
Ooh.
And you know what happens? You know, there is a point there. Let me tell you what happens. The Tea Party thing kind of started with the Ron Paul deal.
Right.
So, you know, initially they're going to watch. We're going to, you know, voice our opinion. Well, all of a sudden they're overwhelmed with 1 million, 2 million. I mean, just, you know, hundreds of thousands. It was not 2 million. It was only, you know, what? I don't know, half a million. Oh, is that all? 500,000? I'm sorry. You know, I thought it was a lot of people there for a minute. So then you know, however many, it was a bunch of people. Okay, so a bunch of people go to Washington. They got their own signs, and their sign says, you know, down with government. You know, whatever. You know. Then of course the left is going to focus in. See, they got this Obaminess, and Obamacare, and Obama, you know, whatever thing. It's a racist thing. I got Southern, you know, Heidi Beirich, you know, Southern Poverty Law Center. She's always good.
Yeah.
She's always good to have on. I remember one time, you know, she was saying one of the earlier interviews that I had. She wouldn't repeat it now, but I think it was the first one I had on her morning show. She goes like this. She says, well, you know, there's racist elements out there, you know, because if you're anti-government, you know, you're racist because we have a black president.
Oh, really?
Yeah, that was a good one. I like that. So I'm going, no, you guys are killing me. And, you know, what really messed up their whole thing was when Obama came here that time and Chris, you know, black Chris with the AR-15,
yeah,
and a black man with an AR-15 saying, I don't like Obama, man, I just totally screwed him up. They didn't know what that could do.
Well, they didn't mention that he was black.
No, they tried not to, but that was so obvious. MSNBC would zoom in on the gun and, you know, they'd never, the white supremacists in Arizona and the guys doing this black. So they just made fun of MSNBC. See, for them even trying to handle it that way. Like, are you trying to do us a favor by being stupid? Was that your goal or something? So it's just amazing the thought process these people have, because they don't understand the power of just the internet or something.
They understand it, Ernie.
Well, who the heck was making a stupid decision like that to not show that? But that's not even my point. My point is that, you know, they're really focusing in on the racist elements of the Tea Party. Well, if you have only they keep hammering on this immigration thing, or they hammering on this conservative Christian right wing whatever, blah blah blah. Well, sooner or later, all of a sudden it goes from 1 million, you know, down to 20.
Right.
Because all most of the people, they don't care about any of that crap. But the ones left, it's like it's intentional. They'll go a year later and they got it culled down to just a camo wearing, gun toting, you know, knuckle dragging, you know, get where's Mexican so I can ship them off kind of guy. And then they say, see, this is the people that, well, it's like it's part of the plan.
Yeah.
Last night, they had a tea party thing, less than 5 miles, you know, from Greek Town, that restaurant over on, like, you know, I don't know, it's 24th Street and Camelback over there somewhere.
Oh, okay.
And Esplanade around there somewhere. And they had an event to where Andrea Garcia, that is the Libertarian running against Russell Pierce.
Right.
They said, okay, you come in and give us your what for. And then Andre Campos, which is a Republican, he was campaigned for liberty. He was a state coordinator for Ron Paul and all that kind of stuff. And he and his wife are campaign managing Barry Hess, the Libertarian candidate for governor. And Andre was his, 4 years ago, he was his campaign manager as a Libertarian for governor. And he's a Republican, well-known Republican. So we, kind of all intertwined in the freedom movement and everywhere. That's just how it is here in Arizona because. Well, Andre gets in, he does a whole big thing on SB 1070, the immigration bill, and he goes, look, this is national ID. He goes, this is not about the immigrants. This is about you. This is about you have to do this. You got to produce this. Your data is getting turned over to Homeland Security. He goes on and on and on the history of the bill, who was introducing it, why, what provisions they had in, how the police are. He goes through the whole thing on this. And, of course, what are they saying? By the time you call out all of the real freedom activist-oriented people and you get left with the, this whatever average age of 68 that's been in the Republican Party doing I hate immigrants, okay? Okay, now speak, press one, and press two, speak English, boy. I mean, this kind of, this mentality.
It's really ugly.
So they are the ones that are just, they didn't care. I got nothing to hide. You got to have your driver's license anyway. What's the big deal? Get rid of the damn Mexicans. And I'm going, they're already gone. They went home, man. Why do you think we got so much vacancy?
Yeah.
So I mean, you've seen that.
Oh, yeah. I drive around all over the place. And if you drive, let's say, in downtown Chandler, in areas where they would have had, immigrants trying to get jobs as day laborers, they're virtually all gone. And apartments are emptying out because they're afraid of this bill.
Get it!
But the thing is...
Get them!
Even your average middle-class white American should be afraid of it because of who introduced it, and that's Russell Pierce. And his whole idea is to have national ID.
Always has been. And that's one thing that's lost on a lot of these guys. And it's going to be, even on the audience, I know there's a lot of people out there, yay, Arizona, go kick butt. Oh, I don't even know if you know this. Maybe you saw it on Fame Chains. You like this. Here in Arizona, you have Sheriff Arpaio. I mean, he's even going to maternity wards, and when you haven't...
No.
Oh, yeah. This is good. I know some of the audience probably heard this story. I told this before. 4th of July is my daughter-in-law mother's birthday. Okay?
Uh-huh. Yeah.
So it's like 2 Sundays ago or something. We're over at our house. I was in Vegas or something. We drove down in time to get here like 6, 7 o'clock. We go before it gets dark. We have, the birthday party and kind of whatever, and we go out and see, and it's 4th of July. Okay, born on the 4th of July. That's really cool. Well, it came up because she's a baby nurse in a maternity hospital in Tempe.
Oh.
So she goes, there isn't a single mother inside, or mother-to-be, there's not a pregnant woman delivering in the entire hospital, at the maternity ward of that hospital in Tempe, not one, on 4th of July. And I'm going, wow, is that normal?
That's weird.
And she goes, because of Arpaio. They go, because they have a very inexpensive $400. You pay $400, you get to have a baby. Now, of course, sign here and you get, public access, or
right,
subsidized, whatever, So the Hispanics would go there, of course, because they get, the problem is the government program. I don't give a crap. Heck, if you do away with the government program, it probably only costs $400, So what happens is Arpaio has his deputies go, and they just ask him for ID of all these women having babies there.
You are kidding.
Because anchor baby thing. There's a lot of people going, heck yeah, man, that's a good idea. Now, think about it. I had my first granddaughter there because her mother works there, okay? So we go there, we have the grandbaby. Now, you see my daughter-in-law, I think, Laura.
Yeah.
Man, she's Norwegian. I mean, she's white. She's really white, with blonde hair white, okay? White girl. And the thing is, I'm going, so what do you think happens if I'm there and deputy, what's his name, comes in, we're just checking for papers and kind of, I'm like, while my daughter-in-law's having my, grandchild, oh, we definitely don't. Heck, I wanted to do it just for the entertainment. I'd get out of how I was going to handle it. I mean, just thinking about it just gives you feeling.
Could you get one of those video pins and just put it in your jacket pocket? Oh, come on.
That's what
you got a videotape.
That's what my BlackBerry's for. Oh, yeah. No, we're we're gonna be really, because think about it. All the people that are having babies, they all got video cameras and cameras. You know, it's amazing that you haven't seen
it. But they
don't
want you to put it in their face if it's a video camera. If you've got a video pin, Ernie, you can get it and they'll never know.
Yeah, I know. We got those two. Shh, be quiet. So what happens is she tells me this and I'm going, seriously? She goes, yeah. You know, they all of a sudden, you know, the baby birthing business has just gone down to nothing because, and where do they go? Well, they go to Texas, New Mexico, California, or whatever. They still do. Well, that's the, you know, a lot of people would say, good. See, it had the impact. You know, see, good stuff came out of it. And not even think about the real solution would be to do away with the welfare, do away with the subsidy, do away with that. That's the real problem. I don't care if you're from Montana. I don't care if you're a poor white girl. You know, and you're still taking from me. That doesn't even cross their mind. No, what they want is they want the Hispanics gone, and they're willing for my Norwegian-looking, you know, daughter-in-law to have to produce some papers. Well, she's in contractions.
Oh, jeez.
And I'm just... Wow.
The blindness
is
overwhelming, Ernie.
Overwhelming. And we talk about these things, and we bring this up now because later I know it's going to happen. It's throughout history. It always happens. It's papers, please thing, you know, and they, and this is good. On The Daily Show with Jon Stewart, they did a spoof on, you know, 1070 and all this kind of stuff. And it was amazing at how they did it. They just took the training video that they did for law enforcement out of the governor's office and the county sheriff's departments and so on that they did for enforcing this. Well, you have to have probably, and just them talking about how they're going to get around the racial profiling would be bad. But if you got it, and you just listen to their own mouths, they're saying that, I'm going, oh, this is Orwellian as heck. They can't even say it without, you know, their tongue turning to fire, you know? Oh, Arizona, it's always here. We'll be right back.
And now, live from the studios of Freedom's Phoenix, Ernest Hancock.
Ships and 200 helicopters and warplanes and submarines and everything off the coast of the evil regime of Costa Rica. You know, you know, 7,000 Marines and until the end of the year, and you just got to go. You know, because I have no freaking idea. Well, what are we doing there, Jack?
I don't know. It's bizarre. I mean. It makes your head spin. That's more than 15% of the entire U.S. fleet off the coast of Costa Rica.
One thing that has been interesting, we've been hearing a lot of freedom people talking about, yeah, we're going to Costa Rica. Right?
Expatriates.
Yeah. You know, a lot of people, they're going to Costa Rica. They're going, we'll go to Costa Rica. You know, it's a U.S. friendly. It's kind of maybe Ecuador, Argentina, somewhere not here. I mean, you know, so Costa Rica has been one of the places that a lot of people have been going to. I guess, you know, they decided that you got enough of our people there, especially if they took their money with them, and we want to send a message to the government. You know, we're going to need, you don't have a proper extradition treaty with it, or you don't have it. We want you to, and we got to get in the bank account kind of, what, you know, guess what? 46 ships. if you got, all you got is a hammer, everything looks like a nail, man.
Yeah. I mean, come on. I'm 56 years old, Ernie. I've been around a long time. I follow the news for 50 years almost. But the thing is, I've never seen anything like this. 46 ships? That's, I think we have a 300 ship Navy, most, somewhere around 289 ships. And you've got that many down at Costa Rica? What is going on?
Let's see, the PAC, PAC, and the FA, whoever the heck that is, recalled that the bilateral agreement signed 10 years ago allowed the entry of Coast Guard vessels, but not warships, that have the capacity for military confrontations and war. A legislator, FA, I guess it's a part of the, it's a, who is it? Frente Amplio, and it's a party in Costa Rica, so it's a political faction. Legislator Jose Maria Valladares, what you call it, questioned the conditions under which the permission was granted, since U.S. personnel will enjoy freedom of movement and the right to carry out the activities needed to fulfill their mission. Yeah. I see where this is going. You know, the thing is that I can tell what's happening here is just a show of force. I remember, was it Teddy Roosevelt did this too?
Yeah, carry a big stick.
Yeah. You know, speak softly, carry a big stick. And what do? They call it the Great White Navy or something, you know. And they had all the ships painted white, and they went from port to port to port around in South and Central America going, hello, hello. You know, let's look that up. I'll bet you that comes up. Teddy Roosevelt White Navy. It's all about knowing what question to ask. Yeah, see, the crews of the Great White Fleet. See how good I am. On the warm, cloudy morning of December 16th, 1907, President Theodore Roosevelt stood on the weather deck of the presidential yacht Mayflower, anchored in the waters of Hampton Roads, Virginia. He flashed his famous broad, toothy smile and thought how bully it was to see a mighty armada of U.S. battleships passing in review before him. The president, and indeed the throngs of onlookers gathered on shore, felt a great sense of pride and exhilaration as 16 battleships of the U.S. Atlantic Fleet, all painted white, save for gilded bows, steamed in a long, majestic column out of Hampton Roads to the open sea. And then it went down to, you know, Central America and said, hello. And these are 16-inch guns, man. Yeah. We still use battleships. You know, when we need, big giant Volkswagens going raining down on some hill somewhere in Lebanon or something, you know, they bring out the New Jersey, you know. So this is, this is what this sounds like. It's the same thing.
Well, didn't we have, less than a year ago that the Honduras government was overthrown and we kind of sat back and said, well, that's okay. And we seem to have had a hand in it. And the guy that ended up as the head of the new government, I think, had been schooled at the School of the Americas down there in the Old South.
You know, and they still got that going on, too.
Oh, yeah.
You know? And that's where you get the term banana republic from. You know, a banana republic meant, you know, it's like the U.S. Fruit Company or something like that. United Fruit Company. They were, you know, it's like colony, just like France had in Indochina, you know, where you had, you know, Vietnam. You know, the Vietnamese World War II kicked the Japanese out, and the French come back and go, okay, it's our plantation. They went, whoa, where the heck were you? You know, we go fight, we get them out, we get our land back, and you want us to enslave us again? I don't think so. So they come back in the 50s, and finally they kick them out. The French Foreign Legion get their butt kicked in Vietnam. So who takes over? The United States.
And who told them not to? Dwight David Eisenhower.
Yeah, this is not good, you know. And we're going through this again. You know, let's take a look here. Does it say anything about it? Let's see. In 1898, at the end of the Spanish-American War, the United States was thrust into the mainstream of international affairs and gained status as a world power, acquiring as possessions the Philippines and Guam in the Pacific, then Puerto Rico in the Caribbean. In 1904, the United States also established a naval base at Guantanamo Bay, Cuba. To ensure the safety of the Panama Canal, then under construction, Roosevelt stressed the upgrading and expansion of the U.S. fleet in order to protect American interest abroad. American interest abroad. You know what American interest is? It's not abroad, okay? It's right here, my life, liberty, property.
Yeah.
American interest abroad. Heck, just even saying that just makes you want to slap them, you know? From 1904 to 1907, American shipyards turned out 11 new battleships to give the Navy awesome battle capabilities. This was timely for in it was timely for in 1906 hostilities with Japan seemed possible. Yeah, you know, all of a sudden we got, you know, we got a hammer now. We got to go look for nails. The Japanese Navy dominated the Pacific and posed a potential threat to the Philippines. Blah 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 blah. You know, so I'm just, you know, I
it just never ends.
It's the same thing. So heck, I didn't even look at that. I knew I recognized this. So now we're going to Costa Rica is an imminent threat to the United States of America. We got 46 ships there.
And guess who told us? Hillary Clinton.
About what?
She has a big interest in making sure that everybody believes that the government that took over after the coup in Honduras is legitimate. So she's one of the ones that's pushing this whole idea of America, you know, basically entering into South American and Central American politics.
Why?
She's not a peacenik.
Oh, I thought, you know, it was the Clinton administration that was, you know, all the evil Bush guys and Reagan, all them that were messing with.
Oh, no, but now they have the ring, Ernie.
Oh, man. And who's going to come in and save us? We get somebody that's kind of the peace guy, you know, anti-war guy, who's sort of like Obama.
Yeah.
Maybe not.
No, I didn't ever buy that. Did you? You
no,
didn't buy that.
No.
I know that.
I know that. You know, but, you know, you couldn't tell anybody that.
No.
I mean, you try. I mean, that was the one thing that when we were doing the revolution during the Ron Paul revolution going on then, the only people that, I mean, legitimately, they had people there. I mean, they always kind of pretend they had them, or they had their, you know, paid off minions for the cameras kind of stuff. But the only people that really had some bodies on the street was the Obama people. You know, you'd have the same young type idealistic socialists is what they were, and they'd be at different things. You'd have the young Ron Paul guys would go, and they'd engage in them, they'd talk and kind of have a little, you know, fun back and forth, we got spirit, yes we do, we got spirit, how about you, oh, we got, you know, it's that kind of crap, right? So then you would talk to these people. I'd be there with video camera just having these guys engage, and they're in their early 20s and so on, or high school or 18. They were just going because, you know, that's where the party was, man. There was women, okay? So, and they'd ask them. I go ask them. So they go over to New Hampshire. They go up and they go, hey, how come you guys here? You know, word up. What's that? And they're going, man, I don't know. That's what a party is. You know, they didn't know. You know, they had no idea. And anything you did get out of him, it's because he was anti-war. So what happens when he's not? The bloom off that rose is gone a long time ago.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I went to an anti-war demonstration, Ernie, on, was it March 19th of this year? And I have never seen a sadder group of people, because they still had the true believers in Obama, but you could tell they were facing the truth, but they wanted to live in denial.
He's
just a little
at his
bit longer.
Lowest rating. I mean, I don't know. Did www.warmonger.com, did he go down below 45%?
He got down to about 27 or 28%.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, Obama's chasing, man. You know, you like this? You go like this. I seen the sign. It said, you know, George W. Bush. Okay, no longer the worst president ever. You know, and you would think we had on Freedom's Phoenix, we have all these different categories. Well, one of the categories you have the Bush administration. I mean, think about it. Scooter Libby, Rumsfeld, Cheney, all the stuff that these guys are doing, we would have on Freedom's Phoenix in its own category, the Bush administration. I thought there would never be competition for as much crap as there is under Bush administration category until we had the Obama administration category. I was like, you know, I what's next? I mean, the next one, whatever, is going to be Hillary's category. I mean, I am, wow. And they're bringing back Newt Gingrich. There'll be a category for you right there. Oh, man, if you can't smile about it, what are you going to do? You get out the steak knife and start slitting your wrist at the dinner table as you're watching network television. You know, I don't stop believing. I mean, you know, there is another side to this thing. You just got to be able to keep breathing in and out and retain the value and the goodies you've accumulated and the value of the stuff that you've been able to get, and precious metals and food and whatever. You need to be able to last this for years. Got chickens?